Alrighty, Joel Radio's back. How you doing out there? Another scintillating podcast for you here. A lot of great reaction to the last one. We got to talk about that. There's so much going on. I got a giant... Could this be the longest list of stuff I've put together to talk about? Maybe. And I've got the guys to talk about it. Corey Hall is here.
Shabbat shalom.
The great Corey Hall, movie critic at large. Comedian at large. He's pretty much fat anywhere he goes.
These are fat jokes.
Yay, hey-o, Corey Hall. Bill Hildebrandt.
Well, hi, him.
Not as fat as he used to be. How's the weight thing going?
It's a struggle to maintain.
Yeah,
you know?
Me too. I'm in the same boat,
you know what
dude.
I'm talking about.
I've been up, I've been down. I'm still, hey, I'm less than I used to be, and I think you're in the same boat, so there you go. What were you saying? Did I cut you off?
No, when is Melissa McCarthy just going to put out a movie called At Large?
You know, if you wrote down all these ideas on this
I
show,
know,
this
I
is
know.
When you're at your height of creativity.
No, that's usually at
this is as good
four
as
in the morning. That's usually at 4 in the morning. I'm like, oh, geez, I got to go to sleep.
But, of course, Bill Hildebrandt, great comedian.
Oh, thank you.
Been everywhere. Done it all.
I've been listening to Gilbert Gottfried, and that's not quite the intro I was looking
for.
Well, Gilbert does these intros with
I know,
people.
I love it.
They list like 20 minutes of credits.
Yeah.
We couldn't be happier to have everybody. They couldn't be
they
happier.
Couldn't be happier.
We are thrilled.
I want $1 for every time Frank Santapadre goes. It's a long way to go from a kid from Hoboken. Like whoever it is, they're like, can you imagine when you were growing up in Kenosha, Wisconsin, that you'd be? And I'm like, well, somebody grew up somewhere, Frank. Like everybody started somewhere.
Right. I mean, I guess if you grew up in Palm Springs,
can you
and
imagine
you were babysat at the, you know, on
when
the
you were a kid,
20th Century Fox
one
lot.
One day you'd grow, work up, you'd work with Kip Adada. Yeah. Can you imagine you'd actually have met Mitzi Gaynor? You
know, it's just like his name mentioned Kip Adada in the John Davidson.
Kip Adada was on there.
John
yeah.
Davidson was great. Not to plug another podcast, but
yeah,
the genius of the Gilbert Gottfried show is that a guy like John Davidson, who I always just thought was a haircut, was a game show host.
He thought he was a haircut.
Yeah. Well, he came off really funny and self-aware and is good.
How about we talk about this podcast?
None of that will be on this show.
Because that's
no
the one.
No self-awareness or humility or good spirit on this program.
Let me talk about last week's show, because I have to say, and we've been doing this show in one form or another for 15 years. That'll be 15 years in March next year, so we're going on our,
one form or another?
One. Well,
what would be the other form?
The Corey and Joel radio show and then Joel Radio.
Oh, okay.
Two
the title
forms.
Changed, sorry.
I have not heard reaction to a show like the last one.
Oh,
every day, literally every day, either online or when I'm working at the Comedy Castle, someone comes up and goes, listen to the last podcast. Holy shit, that was great. That was so funny. I can't believe Roseanne did that. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, you can go over. Mike Green, do you want to pull that up on joelradio.net? Mike Green left a nice message on the front page of that. I don't know if you saw that. So Mike Green left a comment, who's one of our good friends, great comedian. And everyone's blown away by what a bitch
she
was. On the
website or the Facebook?
Joelradio.net. No, the website. Which, you can leave comments on joelradio.net. I have to approve them. I am the webmaster. I get an email when people leave comments. Because a lot of it is like, I can increase your Google searches 200%. You know, it's like spam shit like that. Okay. But everybody's digging it. Everyone's amazed what a bitch Roseanne was. I had a guy last night that was at the Roseanne show. Two guys actually last night that went to Roseanne said she sucked. I just want to thank everybody for listening to that. It was a big deal. I also would like to say that as you see right here,
there
you are. There's the proofs in the pudding right there. There it is. Marion Ilitch right there in the corner. Yep. Signature, Corey.
Stamp or a signature?
It's a stamp, of course. But yeah, she doesn't.
Wow.
$5.95.
It's That's amazing.
Crazy.
They only deducted. Olympia Entertainment has paid me for Roseanne's. Canceling me.
Lose sight and turn it into a paper.
I might have to do something with that. So I did get my money for the gig.
That's
which
when I
is
did
great.
My check from MGM.
Yeah?
Yeah, when I was an extra in Rose with
Brett
Midler.
Yeah.
I didn't cash the
didn't
check.
Didn't cash it? So their budget has been off for 35 years because you haven't cashed your...
Hold on.
By $20.
Yeah, I thought they paid everybody in cocaine on that.
We had the option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like cocaine, but I love the way it smells.
So, yeah, everybody was really great about the Roseanne show. I want to thank everybody. In fact, friend in New York who's in the business sent me a message. He says, look, I'm listening right now. He says... And I think I talked to you about this. I know I talked to Corey about it. He said to me, he said, do you want to do this on morning radio? Do you want to go, you know, he says, I can get you on this service where, you know, basically they blast out summaries of the guests and you can book whatever guest you want through the service. And, you know, you write up a paragraph about, you know, your deal with Roseanne and we'll put it on there and I'm sure they'd have you on. And at this point, I haven't chosen to do that, but I don't know. Maybe I should. I don't know.
Well...
I mean, in
the
a way,
the harm is done. I mean, the harm
is
done.
Yeah, it is. It
you
is.
Know, she's never going to use you, so screw her. Might as well dig her a ditch.
You know who actually you might pitch this to is like Sam Cedar, like one of the progressive, and be like, they didn't want me to do Trump jokes.
Well, yeah,
that would be kind of. I think I could see something like that, or even Joe Rogan.
The angle of that Trump with the bucket of chicken photo, I think, is funny. But, I mean,
Although the problem is they didn't give you a specific, like...
They did.
They didn't say this joke is what made us mad or whatever.
So, there's a guy that listens to every podcast, and he said to me this. He says, just so you know why she fired you. And I said, okay, tell me. He said, it was something you said on the last podcast, meaning the one where I was promoting the fact that I was going to be appearing at the Fox.
No.
And his comment was to go around and say you didn't know if you should do the gig and it was controversial and you went to Mike Bonner and asked if he thought it was going to be okay for you to do it is what got you fired, in his opinion. This is a guy that knows nothing, but other than he listens to the show. I'll be honest. But that's what his opinion was.
And you'll hear that. Okay.
I mean, whatever. I mean, whatever. He would admit he knows nothing, but, you know, it's still. He's a guy that listens to the show, and I'm bringing it up as, boy, I thought that was. But, I mean, if that's what it was, too, I thought I was completely lucid and you know, completely sensible about that. And I think if she's not aware that she is controversial and that a comic might think twice about taking that gig, even though I really didn't think twice about it, I took it right away. I mean, I could have canceled, I suppose. And certainly she had that option. I thought that was fine. I don't know. So that's what they're saying. Anyway,
it was nice to get the great Dave Landau to come out.
Dave Landau, because some people didn't know that story about Landau.
Oh, yeah.
About him in Last Comic Standing.
Dave Landau. What's the story?
Well, basically, you know, he was on Last Comic Standing. He was trying to get on the main show. Roseanne was one of the celebrity judges. She didn't like one of his jokes. She kept him off. Oh. Next year, Dave goes back through the process, you know, auditioning and all that.
They aired her season one.
Yeah.
Right. And she kind of was like, I don't get it.
So then in season two, she said, he's not going forward on the show. They cut him out of the whole thing.
Hmm.
So she put the kibosh on him. Do you have Mike's comment?
Mike said, Joel, when you went nuts defending the photo, I couldn't breathe because I was laughing so hard. And when you told Corey to shut up, I nearly pissed myself.
Yes, well, I did tell Corey to shut up, and that was great.
While you were in the middle of a rant?
Yes, I did that. So I was fired up about Roseanne, and I meant it. And, you know, look, I'm trying to have a good radio show, too, but I also meant that thing. So what can I tell you? And it was one of those. But, yeah. So there was that. And anyway.
Joel.
Yeah.
Let it go.
It's fine. I think unless there's new... I mean, look, I did say when I brought Dave Landau in, we're going to start this new segment called Fuck Roseanne. And I asked you, because you've been around forever, but you never met her, so you got no comment on it. But I've talked to a lot of guys in the business that have, and if anyone wants to come on the show or write something for the Fuck Roseanne segment, feel free to send that to me. I don't know, joelthecomic@gmail.com, whatever. Leave a comment on joelradio.net, whatever you want to do. So, yeah. So, anyway, that's that. Thank you all for listening. And if you haven't heard it yet, last week's episode about Roseanne.
I don't get it.
Lost my mind. All right. What else is going on? Bill, you're here.
Yo.
You just survived the great... You called me the other day.
Yeah.
You say, Joel.
Yeah.
There was the comics picnic took place the other day. Comics potluck picnic took place. You weren't there. What happened? And I said...
Fuck those people.
No, I honestly, it was more like I had shit to do. Please don't give away my secrets here. I said, no, I did have other shit to do. And plus you're like, oh, I saw this guy and that guy. And I go, I see those guys at the club almost every night. So I'm seeing guys. But tell us about what happened there. I did not make it. I don't think Corey made it.
Well, no,
it
wasn't
near
as many people as could have been there.
It's a tough sell to my wife to go, honey, would you like to spend your afternoon eating potato salad with Mark Sweetman in Garden City? I mean, that's a hard sell.
Yeah.
It's not like we're all waiting in line just to meet him and then go home.
Yeah.
I mean, there's other people there.
I love Mark. I'm not trying to.
But you thought this was a thing that was organized online, and I never told anyone online that I was going, so I don't think anyone should have. You said people were expecting me to be there. I was.
Yeah, you know, they were asking, you know, did you talk to Joel?
I'm sleeping.
But, you know, I thought Sunday there'd be like 80, 90 people there, and there was like 40.
Oh, okay. Well, still a nice turnout.
It was half newbies, and it was half oldsters, and they didn't mingle at all.
Oh.
One was on one side of the room, one was on the other.
Oh.
And I'm listening to all these young kids talk about, here's how you get in with Roger in Ann Arbor. I think I got the secret. And the kid's got no idea what he's talking about.
Well,
here's how you do Roger. This is what it's all about. I'm like, yeah, fine. You keep
going. I thought you'd have a few Crown Royals and smarten them up a little bit, but no?
I was not there. I saw one photo of the event.
Yeah.
And it looked to be, yes, a mixture of newbies and duffers.
Yeah.
and you know, God bless you. You guys like Kevin Kramus and you have been around a long time, veteran Detroit area comics. And you're right. I think there's a big divide.
Well,
currently,
no
there's
shit.
A big...
I said they just didn't even mingle. They didn't even talk to us at all.
Well, I think it's kind
of
a problem, and I've gotten in trouble for it lately.
Yeah.
I've gotten attention for this, but I think there's a divide and a disconnect to the point where the newbies don't even think that... They don't have any respect for what you did or what anybody did.
But, you know,
or
Cliff mentions that in his book.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It happened back in the 80s and
there's
the
70s. Generations
of comics. Generational.
But
and part of that is obviously going to happen.
Yeah.
Sure.
New people going to come in and they're going to think they hung the stars in the sky.
Yeah.
But I feel like I didn't have quite the same. There were when I started, there were guys who were on their last legs and I thought their acts were atrocious and hacky.
Yeah.
And some of them were kind of mean. And some of them were you, and you were mean, but that didn't slow me down. But I didn't.
You guys were both mean to me when I started, so we know.
But I didn't, you know, I didn't ever go, well, they're not in the same thing. I was like, how do I do what they're doing?
Yeah, well, that's.
How do I get into these clubs?
That seems to be missing.
And now there seems to be this kind of like. The system is corrupt. We're going to tear it all down the walls and start over again.
But the big sea change.
And we're
going to
play comic book stores. You know, and laundromats and all this stuff for free. And that I can't really figure out.
But the big sea change in all this is, you know, when you got started...
The clubs are gone.
There were clubs.
There were clubs.
And there was a process. And there were people doing bookings. And there's ways to get in and get yourself in front of them. But that's all gone.
And most of
that. Well, but everybody's a booker now.
Everybody's a booker.
If you put a list of...
going on.
If you...
They got their, you know, their open mic shows on Fridays and Saturdays. You want to talk about that, Corey?
Yeah.
If you put a list together of the same 10 people that are on the open mic every night... You're not a booker. You know, a booker is someone who assigns jobs.
Well, here's what
for money.
Well, here's what got said to me at the picnic.
Okay.
You know, Kevin Kramus comes up to me and he says, "Oh man," he says, "well, we got quite a few newbies here." And I said, "Yeah, that's cool." He says, "Yeah, you know, they're your fault." And I said, "Well, how do you figure?" He says, "Because you ran that stupid class, and then Joel Fragamenti took the class, and he's turned out all these guys.
Oh,
so this is your fucking mess."
Kramus.
Well, Kevin's right, and he's making
all,
a solid point.
I want to say, fuck Kevin Kramus, fuck Corey Hall. I guess fuck you too, Bill. Even though you were more the conduit, I think your hands are clean in this whole thing. This is what I tell my students: is I say, you know, it's funny. The comedy students are very good, especially like Bill Bouchard was there this weekend. They're very good about coming to the Comedy Castle and hanging out and saying hi to the guy. I said, you got to go to the Elks Lodge, you go to the VFW, and you go, hey, I'm a guy who did Joel's class. Can I do 5 minutes to open the show? And most of the time, you're probably going to be told, yeah, go ahead. Because, you know, there's a two-comic show at best.
Yeah.
And they need someone to warm it up and fall on the grenade and all those things. So I always say, go to those shows. Talk to the veteran guys. They're the guys that can get you work. Otherwise... You're just going to be all blowing each other, you know, in the back of a pizzeria.
And
you
I
know,
also mentioned to him about
for
Melissa.
For a free drink.
Hager.
Who books that?
Yeah, exactly.
Is there,
that sounds like a gig.
Yeah. Is there a blowjob party? Is there?
I'm going to. Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
But I mentioned
three-drink minimum.
Melissa's going to start teaching comedy, and Kramer says, yeah, that's your fault, too, because she took Joel's class. So I'm responsible for that.
That was going to be my response to the where that takes place. But anyway.
No, Bill, no one, in fairness, no one remembers that you ever had a class. Let's be honest.
No shit. Tell me about it.
Well, look, I mean, the point is there are a million young comedians, way more than there's ever been, that have a desire to do comedy, but they're also like afraid of, you know, the veterans, or they're afraid that, like, you know, there's people that aren't looking for talent. I mean, guys, I mean, you're calling me all the time looking for openers. I mean, that you're not the only one that does that. There's always guys looking for comics for shows, and these people, they stay in their little bubble of, you know, it's like, you're only hanging out with the guys you started out with. That's what they're doing. And I think to some extent we couldn't do that because, you know, there was only a handful of us starting at any given time.
I don't know any openers.
We needed work from you. We needed work from Leo DeFore.
I don't know any openers because, you know, when I was doing Norwegian Cruise Lines, I wasn't doing clubs.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So I didn't have any openers. I didn't meet any of the new guys coming up. Mm. And my Rolodex got old, phone numbers went away.
Yeah.
I think I used to work them by myself.
Okay, you know? Yeah.
I didn't have an opener.
But that is, if you're a young comic listening to this, you should find out who's headlining. And not necessarily the Comedy Castle, those other venues. Go on Facebook, you know, find out where these guys are playing and just go, hey, either message them in advance or just show up, buy a ticket. Go, hey. I'm a comic. I'm in the class, or I've been doing open mic.
Take a headshot, a little bio about yourself and stuff, and say, hey, you need an MC? I'll do five minutes for you. And the guy who's not used to doing it, if the move's logical, hell yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You can't walk into the Comedy Castle and get a guest spot.
Right.
You just can't.
Good.
When you're at the Moose Lodge, usually the comics are running the show for the most part. Yeah. You know, even if there is a guy there, he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing anyway. If there's a guy, you know, that says he's running it. So just talk to the comics, and they'll give you a spot. They don't give a shit.
Well, there you go. That takes.
And there you go. So I mean, that's why I think that.
And then there's sometimes the young people don't have an understanding of how to work some of the road gigs.
You learn them by doing them,
right? And so they're kind of like, there's a big difference between doing material for a bunch of people your same age and general political bent and structure.
Let
than
me tell you something about
the
road gigs, though. There are no road gigs anymore.
Well.
I mean, there's road gigs, but the thing is, you know, back in the day, they're going, you're going to Minot, North Dakota, and you're going to hit some town near Minneapolis on the way up, and the whole thing pays $1,500.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, that'll pay for a gas and a hotel on the way up and shit, but now it's, you know, it's Sabo.
Yeah,
you know,
one gig, go home. Yeah,
I've got, you know, I got Mansfield, Ohio, $200, no hotel. That's... that's not a road gig. You got to live within, you know, 50 miles of the damn place to be stupid enough
to take
that.
That's true.
Runs.
The string of one-nighters.
Runs are less prevalent. And look, my argument, I guess, about the whole Friday night open mics or free showcases on Friday and Saturday, there isn't enough fucking money to begin with for you to be taking any of it out of our pockets. So I will stand firm on that opinion.
That's correct. It's
if perfect. You go in, and Bill, I think you brought this up to me in the past. If you go in as a young guy and go, I want to do my open mic on Friday, not knowing any better, and some venue gives you their spot, and you go in and you book these guys who aren't very good, and it's a lousy show, they're never going to have comedy again. They're never going to have a show where guys like Bill could get paid
and
to do it.
And the people have never been to a live show are going to go, this is shit, and I'm never going
garbage,
to a show. I don't care
if
the castle's around the corner or not, if this is what local talent. That's why I never went to a comedy show. The guy that took me to Ann Arbor for the first time I ever went, I didn't want to go.
Because
I just saw some comedian at a policeman's ball, believe it or not, and the guy was horrible. He's atrocious.
Right.
And I told him, I don't want to see some local asshole try to make me laugh.
Right.
Wait, you saw a policeman's balls in this?
Yeah, I saw a policeman's balls, and it wasn't funny.
And... how did you get on the horse?
Talk about going after low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, Corey's... This show keeps innovating.
I think
we're out of material after 15 years.
This is starting to be like a chewing on a grapefruit rind in here.
It's fine.
It's getting a little bitter.
We'll move on, but this is the point. I think to Bill's point is that, look, if you're a young comic, you know, there's nothing wrong with open mics. I love open mics. That is the lifeblood of the business. Have your open mic Sunday through Thursday. It's fine.
Yeah.
But you got a Friday, Saturday night. Think about getting a professional guy to headline your show. You can open the show. Your buddies can open the show. You guys can rotate that in and out.
And you'll look like a hero to the club owner.
And you can take $100 for booking the fucking
thing. You'll look like you know what you're doing.
And you know, it's a way to make money. I talk about it in my class. I know in some people's minds, my comedy class is the enemy. I don't think anyone that's actually attended my comedy class would say that. But a lot of people seem to not like it. And to those that don't like it,
well,
I invite you to come and sit in.
I taught it when they don't like it.
You're too. Well,
Bill had the best time. You've helped with the class a couple of times, and yet
yours
well,
is
I had my nose surgery.
Yours
and Bill
is ostensibly
had to teach.
The graduate class.
It is.
So there's there's another tier.
Do you know why my class is that way and why I run it the way I run it? Is because I was going into the beginner class, telling them about club etiquette and where to stand on stage, and hey, you're never going to get booked with that material. And there were people, not just to me, but they'd complain to the people that run the castle or, Bill Bouchard, the main, going, I got this as my birthday present. I'm going to do my graduation show. I have no, they had no interest in being a professional comic.
Yeah.
That's why I dropped out. But that is sort of why we have a class for people who want to take it seriously and want to make money, and that's my class.
All right.
And there you go. Anyway.
But I didn't, that's why I couldn't do the teaching anymore, because there were people. That's for you, Bill.
Oh, you get a
You need a little
No, it's not. No.
You need a little sweetness.
No, I don't.
You going to pass on that?
Let me suck on this lemon again.
It's the candy that's too good for kids.
A toffee fan.
And you were too good for kids in your lifetime, you really.
I was never a kid.
No.
Toffee Faye.
Bill was about a 40-year-old seventh grader.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think, probably. You were like.
Toffee Faye has upped their candy game.
You were teaching classes on how sex ed works on the playground?
Yes.
Like fourth grade? You're like, look, let me tell you. All right.
Well, let's follow. Well, speaking of new comics, Corey, you want to talk about a guy who was on our show not that long ago. You went out, because that's a lot of what we're talking about. You had a sushi date with Seiko Yamagita, the young Japanese comedian who has sort of a side hustle, if you want to call it that, where he reviews sushi and ramen places on Facebook and certifies them. So you went out
The
guy.
I wish he would make this a blog or something that we could make viral.
Yeah.
But Seiko likes to review all of the Japanese restaurants.
Yeah. So you went out with him because you're a big fan of his reviews. I turned you on to his reviews. And what was your thoughts? Where'd you go?
Well, he picked the place.
Okay.
And it over in, we have a neighborhood that's got a lot of Asian restaurants, and a lot of Asian people have moved into this neighborhood because white people move north. Kind of like in any major city, metropolitan area, you'll get kind of migrant shifts, population
it is.
Shifts.
I also think that the real estate, the commercial real estate must be real
cheap. It's called white flight. Why dance around it?
Stop it.
That's what it's
but
called.
But I mean, but sometimes it'll be like, well, this used to be a Lithuanian neighborhood, but now it's Burmese or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, something will change. People will move around. And now it's a lot of Chinese and Japanese kind of stuff over there. And I think it's primarily Chinese. But anyway, because this was not a Jap. This was a sushi place.
Where was this?
It's over in Madison Heights. This is a sushi place that was run by Koreans.
Okay.
This is like a comedy club booked by a juggler.
No,
it's
not at all what it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's not quite right. You know what I mean? Right? Like a...
Well, sushi is what Americans like and is successful, so...
Yes.
I mean, you could open a Korean barbecue place, I suppose, but,
less commercially viable.
Yeah, so why not open sushi?
Well, anyway, so I've seen this a couple times where it's a sushi place run by Koreans, and you know what? It's not as good. And this was fine. It was okay. Seiko sat there with every bite looking sour. It was really funny to me watch him concentrate on his...
I read his...
He's formulating his review. With every,
Did he smell it first and then look at it?
He did a move I had never seen. It was a real veteran move where he took the piece of fish and dipped it into... the soy sauce, and then put it back on the rice.
Oh.
Instead of trying to pick the whole thing up and dipping it in.
Because then the rice doesn't get soiled by the soy sauce.
Yeah, so you just put it on the top of the fish.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Real veteran move there from the old country. And anyway.
Very sneaky maneuver there.
You could say he kind of snuck up on that fish. He kind of...
Pearl Harbored that fish right in there.
He really did.
No.
That tuna didn't see what was coming. Had no idea.
Corey won't remember this, but years ago I said something about I was within earshot, or he was in within earshot of me, and I said something about an Oriental guy, and he barks at me. Orientals are rugs; they're not people.
Yeah,
yeah. I have to tell my mom that sometimes too. I mean, you know, hey, the nomenclature changes over time.
But so the food was good, or the
it was
food
fine.
Wasn't
it wasn't
good.
Like it was, look, yeah. It wasn't top shelf.
Yes.
The best place around here is Noble Fish, which is a Japanese market.
Yes.
They're all, but like, you know, the guys behind the counter are named, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Hiroki.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, there might be a couple non-Japanese people.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know what I mean? It's an actual family-owned Japanese market. They get the stuff straight from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's as fresh as you can get around here.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously if you're on an ocean, you're going to get the fresh.
The West,
you know,
Coast sushi is
better.
Yeah,
California is better.
Now, is Seiko, because I think I know this either from reading his reviews or just talking to him, but it's like when it's not Japanese people, he actually has a problem with that on some level. I don't want to say if I would say it is a racist thing, but I mean, well, I think there is some. What's the word?
It's about authenticity.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
I mean, you, Joel, with your Italian heritage.
Yes. I went to Olive Garden recently for the first time. You want to hear that story?
Oh, yeah, in a second. But I think Seiko is really looking for authentic Japanese food that reminds him of home.
Yeah, okay.
Or whatever. And he wants in the ramen. He's got real specific rules.
Yeah.
The ramen is always like store bought and not, he wants fresh ramen.
He wants
ramen,
them making the ramen.
Which, by the way, making noodles is a real time consuming process.
Sure, yeah.
But some of these restaurants will do that for, you know. Anyway, but it was fun.
Has he found anything that reminds him of home? Has he got a favorite?
Yeah, he does
couple,
have something.
He likes Noble Fish.
Urban Ramen,
Urban Ramen
is the one downtown.
Slurping Turtle in Ann Arbor, which is a good place.
I had
a
Big Mac at the airport in Heathrow in London.
Yeah?
And it tasted like shit.
Really? It was weird, right?
I
had a Mountain Dew in England.
Yeah.
And it was like not as sugary.
Oh.
And it, you know, they downed the sugar content, and it was weird.
I will tell you, now it's been years and years. I think it's been almost 20 years. I've got the best KFC and Burger King of my life in London.
All right.
I thought it was way better than the American stuff.
I went to the McDonald's in Cannon Square.
Yeah.
And I don't remember it being, except that they had pineapple pies.
Hmm.
Okay.
It was the hot pineapple pie. And it was awesome.
Well, they probably can't get. I don't know if they have apples.
And this
China.
Was back when you could deep fry it.
Sure, yeah.
And the hot pineapple pie.
Well,
there's a picture of me somewhere sitting next to Ronald McDonald in Tiananmen Square.
Well, look,
this is a crazy world we live in.
But I know that in Japan as a country, because I know people that have been there, say that there is some sort of institutional racism that can happen, especially in smaller towns where, as like,
absolutely.
If you and I went to the you know, in Tokyo, no, everyone's going to serve us. Stuff's going to be written in English, blah, blah, blah. But it's almost like in America when you go to a small town and they don't like foreigners, that some foreigners can't get served outside of Tokyo in smaller towns, restaurants.
There's a popular
like that.
Fashion that's going around now. There's a popular notion that racism is strictly the provenance of European national, you know, Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Those are the only racists in the world. And this notion will be punctured the second you go to any other country in the right. I mean, like, you know what I'm talking about, Bill. Yeah. Ask a Mexican about a Salvadoran. You know?
After working cruise ships for 13 years.
Yeah, right.
And all the shit that I've seen, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. You see all the tourists come from the other countries up close on the boats and everything, right?
Yeah, but the places I've visited, you know, there's some places where they say don't go here and don't go there. They don't like, you know, Americans, you know, so on and so forth. It's, I mean, the Filipinos, you know, down in the crew bar used to try, some of them would try to pick a fight with me. I mean, it was.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible.
Of course, they've been drinking.
Did we get to your photos? You brought photos. Should we look at those?
Well, it depends on if we get to the topic.
All right. I don't know what they're about. Well, I was going to talk about next something we've been kind of talking about for the last few weeks, these amazing Jonathan documentaries. I know that Hulu put up a trailer for the one that's going to be on there today. But we did see Always Amazing, The True Story of the Life, Death, and Return of the Amazing Jonathan, which was directed by Steve Byrne, who's a comic, who I know is on the TV show Sullivan and Sons. You might know Steve Byrne. He's kind of a famous guy. But I think we've all seen it, and it was pretty good. I mean, we've all met Jonathan or worked with Jonathan in one form or another, and I thought it was pretty honest about what was going on with him. Maybe a little too much on his opening act. I thought maybe the focus on him was, I don't know. If I really got that. But,
behind the scenes guy?
Yeah, you know, the guy who was like, well, I was 14. And that's interesting that as a 14-year-old, he was hanging out with Jonathan in the 80s or the early 90s, which would have been unbelievable, some of the stuff that guy saw, I'm sure, as a teenager. Yeah. But we liked it, you know. I thought it came off well. And certainly we know Anastasia, his current wife, pretty well, me and Corey from working with him at the club
just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, just a few weeks ago. So, any thoughts, Bill? I mean, there was
a
flyer for Paisano's Joey's in there.
Down in
Bill's
Dearborn
old club. Yeah,
and when I worked with him down there, you know, I was in my haunted house phase when I was building haunted houses on the
right,
side.
Yeah.
And I was explaining this to him, and he says, you know, I've always wanted to do something like that.
Can you imagine what he would do?
I really thought that would. Well, what was weird is years after that, when he bought his first house in Vegas. Mm-hmm. They took a camera through there. It was not a documentary about him. But anyway, they showed his house.
Yeah.
And he had all this shit.
Yeah,
that
they showed it in that one. Yeah, they showed it in this one.
Pops out of the closet and comes out of here and there. And I go, well, he finally did what he wanted to do.
I didn't know you did that. I knew you built at least 3 haunted houses that your ex-wives live in.
Yeah. Didn't have to build those. They were haunted the moment they moved in.
I guess one of the criticisms I'd say about this documentary is, and they do talk about it, but I think I was expecting a little bit more about his drug use, and this thing was just overwhelmingly positive from the get-go, and I feel like this thing didn't really have the journey that he was on. I mean, he got ill, and they talk about his health issues, and they show his doctor appointments with that the sores on his feet and stuff, because he was in a boot a couple weeks ago at the club because of diabetic sores on his feet and stuff, and that was terrible. But I expected a little more of, because even when he's like attempting suicide, you know, it's a, you know what I mean? They kind of played it for laughs more than I thought they should. So I thought it was very good. I'm interested to see the Hulu one. This, of course, was not the one, and I'm assuming that's the one, Corey, where they're going to think that he's not sick or something. Is that possible?
Yeah, this is not the one. They showed the other one at the Detroit Film Festival.
Yeah.
And this is the one that was being shopped at Cannes.
This one that we saw.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know why that leaked. But
Well, no, I don't think it leaked. I think that it was released on YouTube. I went on Steve Byrne's Twitter, and he was promoting
apparently,
it, so it's official.
In the other documentary, he's not aware of the other documentary crew until like halfway through the movie, and then realizes that he's being double teamed.
Interesting.
He's being double crossed. So that leads to the director having a big issue with Jonathan, and
maybe that's why they got it out so quick. Maybe that's why they just dumped it on YouTube.
Well, you know, there were 2 Fyre Festival documentaries at the same time. you know what I mean? When they're like 2 Ted Bundy projects, they kind of have to be like, you know.
Are you saying The Amazing Jonathan is the Fyre Festival of comedians?
Pretty much.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I thought it was fair. It got a little syrupy for me.
Right, right.
Which his act is such, and in person, he's not like a, remember the first time I worked with him, I came out, I had a really good set.
Yeah.
I had a really good set. It lit the room up, got a big applause break.
Yeah.
Walk off, he goes, oh, you'll figure this out. I mean, he's that kind of guy.
That's funny,
you know what I mean?
That's like, good. I like it.
Although I did ask him this time what his weight loss secret was.
Oh, okay.
He's a man who's dying. And I was like, you know, trying to get a little zing in there.
He might respect you more for busting his chops.
I'm like, how do you keep the weight off? But anyway, it was fair. It was interesting. He's a real interesting guy. I don't know if you can really know him that well. But anyway.
Yeah.
I did like that they had Copperfield and Penn Jillette in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And David, you don't get to see David Copperfield interviewed very often. And
David Copperfield, you know.
But I got to
You know
admit,
who David
though.
Copperfield's biggest fan is?
Him.
David Copperfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I saw David Copperfield live.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he said some nice things.
He did,
but I'm sitting there
he
thinking he's doing it almost reluctantly.
Yeah.
To a certain extent, you know. There's 10% of them going, man, you shouldn't be, you know, you're the best magician on the face of the planet. Why are you doing this? You know, talking about this other guy.
Well, the thing is,
just felt that a little
Copperfield,
bit.
You know, they probably really wanted him in it because it gives it a little bit
of
legitimacy to have him and Penn Jillette in it. And, you know, Penn's great as usual. Penn can talk about anything.
Yeah.
They didn't get Lance Burton.
And they didn't get Lanceburg.
Chris Angel.
I don't know how
Jonathan,
much.
Yeah. Jonathan says in there, he's like, I'm not a magician, and any magician will tell you that.
I mean, I've seen, as a guy who studied magic and seeing his show, there's not a ton of magic in that show. I mean,
it's a lot of props.
There's mostly props, and anyone can do those prop things when you know how they work. You know, you buy the thing, they give you the instructions. It's not a big deal. There's a couple
his
moves.
Props are clever. I would say,
yeah, the
he's
props
probably
are,
the best prop comic.
But you know, some of those, you know, the ones that are funny, he invented, and the ones that are magician things, you know, he didn't make those.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was good. It's interesting. Yeah. I'll watch that other one about Amazing Jonathan. Not a lot on the Comedy Castle. I guess he didn't really start his career in Detroit, although I know guys that knew him back, you know, Gary Tyson and that, who knew him back in the day, and there was no mention of that.
I haven't heard that name.
I saw Gary the other day.
Jeez.
Saw Gary a couple weeks ago.
Was he at the picnic?
He was at the Comedy Castle.
Was he at the retirement home?
He was at
Comedy Picnic.
Come on, stop it.
Everybody roll right in to let the show begin. It was all very soft food.
So you imagine an open micer pushing a 30-year veteran in a wheelchair. That's what you assume the comedian's picnic was.
I'm just imagining.
I'm letting it go.
It's fine.
He's having fun.
He's having too much fun.
You know what I know? It was like old guys and young guys.
Yeah.
And nobody in the middle.
There was nobody in the middle.
Right.
I was just about to say
there's
that.
There's really nobody in the middle.
Nobody who's been around for a while. But you know what I mean? Like, there was no middle ground there. It was all young.
Well,
guys.
But the thing is, the guys in the middle are the guys who do it once a month and don't bother and probably don't read the Facebook about comedy every minute. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
You guys are calling each other on the phone saying, hey, you're going to this thing on Sunday. And then the noobs are on the Facebook group chatting each other about it and who's going. And, you know, and probably Mark Sweetman's probably
just amazing.
The bridge between those two.
Of all the new guys that were there, I didn't recognize one of them.
Okay.
And I had one guy come up to me. I think his name was Nick. And he says to me, he says, we worked together a few months ago at, and he named some city. And I didn't even remember the city. And he says, when I got off the stage, you said, nice job. And I said, well, what do you expect me to say? You suck? And then I got to go up with a black guy? What's somebody going to say to you?
Look, we've all been on stage with Mike Bonner, but here's the point. Black eye. Okay, I didn't realize.
Uh-oh. I said black eye, not black guy, you blew me.
I know. It's my joke. But, you know, it's...
Now there's two of them on the floor.
Corey sharing his Pringles.
There you go.
Very. My heart is warm.
Are two on the floor.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for
that. Well, no, I goof on the picnic, but whatever.
It's fine.
You know what? It's a good idea because I don't think the comics get together that much.
Well, look,
I didn't ever want to be the guy whose friends were only comics.
Yeah.
I've worked very hard to keep a little distance between the business and me where, you know what I mean? If it's your sole support system or other comedians, that gets to be kind of messy.
Well, I'll be honest. Here's the deal with the picnic.
Yeah.
It's like any other gathering of comedians.
Here's the deal.
Everybody... They're not one-upping each other with one-liners.
No.
It's, I worked here. I got this coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, I just got connected with so-and-so.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I was shooting this pilot. I was doing this. And you just get tired of it.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about
what,
the fucking tiger.
But that's what the internet is. And that's why maybe I blew a gasket and lost it when I saw a flyer for somebody who'd been doing stand-up for 6 weeks. Or, you know, I lost my mind because I feel like everybody's just in this amplifying their voice and look at me, what I'm doing. And that gets old. You're right.
And it's getting traction and they figure, oh, I'm doing something right.
And the reason and the comics that are my good friends that I love is because we bust balls and do it's all bits. And you're right. You're one upping each other. Not that happening here today. But, you know,
I mean, look, that's just, but any
none
business.
Of that comedic spark.
But what do you think engineers sit around and talk about? They probably talk
and
about
it's the most boring shit.
And then the wives go talk about their dumb shit. I don't know.
Oh, God. My wife's a lawyer, and when we go to, like, lawyer events, they all just want to talk shop.
I don't think engineers aren't trying to impress each other.
You don't think so?
They might be discussing a problem. Like, see, this is what we're doing. We're just talking about the business.
right now. We're not trying to re-up, you know, we're not trying to up each other. We're not trying to, you know, well, I'm better than you because I did this, and oh, you're just a flunky because you, I mean.
I had McDonald's in Tiananmen Square. That was a little bit of that.
There's three or four guys that just, that's all they can talk about is this is where I'm working, this is what I'm doing, this is how important I am.
All right.
You know, it just drives you nuts. Mm.
Well, I would be more impressed if they were making jokes. That would be in what, you know what I mean? Like,
the guys bust each other's balls, though, a little bit. I don't know. Right? Was there a little bit of that?
Very little. Well, no. No, as a matter of fact, amongst the guys, though, that kind of really knew each other.
Yeah, the guys that know each other.
So you get, you know, Juggler Rollins and Brannon next to each other, and then Tim Lilly, and everybody's been smoking a little bit and drinking. And now, all of a sudden, the fun starts.
Sure.
But it took a while to get there.
If I wasn't busy, I would have been there. I like all those guys. So I like the new guys. I like the old guys. What can I tell
you? Not to plug another podcast.
Please.
But case in point, the Conan O'Brien podcast.
Oh, boy.
He recently had Bob Newhart, who's 90.
Yeah.
And Bob just sat there and subtly, in that kind of low-speed way he does, is just busting Conan's balls the whole time. And just really, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, just these, you know, very kind of underhanded, like, is this started yet? This, you know, all this kind of stuff. And Conan was loving it. And then Martin Short came on, and they did those. Martin Short was doing that whole slyly undercutting the other guy, you know, and again with the banjo, Steve Martin, and like all this stuff, you know, and it was, those are two of the greats. They were funny.
You like Martin Short then?
I do love Martin.
I never got the hook.
Sometimes, well, he said on the show that he thought he was going to be a singer. He thought he was going to be like a Broadway performer, and he actually got his start in this famous cast of the touring company of Godspell, which was him, Gilda Radner, Aykroyd, Victor Garber. It was this like crazily stocked cast of all, and Dave Thomas, I think. And
Paul Schaefer was the musical director.
Paul Schaefer, wow. Right. So I think like a lot of the SCTV people were in that, and it was this crazy all the people in it got famous.
Yeah.
And he thought he was going to be this song and dance man and then kind of backdoored into comedy. But
Godspell, holy cow.
I love like Jiminy Glick. I think that's really funny.
Okay,
stuff.
Yeah. I know the Steve Martin, Martin Short tour is on Netflix. They did a special for them, and I've never seen that, but they're still touring that. It's at Caesars this summer. So.
Well, I'm a big SCTV fan. I liked when he was on
SNL. I saw that. It was okay.
You saw that tour? Or the Netflix special.
The Netflix
special. Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
You know, Steve Martin is famously like a very dry guy in person.
Yeah.
Like the comedy is all,
right.
He's not apparently that funny off stage. I don't know. It's
all
weird.
Right. Well, speaking of theater, I went to a play.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying to find, this is what I saw, Corey. Mamma Mia, Outdoors. Now, this was at the Cranbrook Greek Theater. You know what that is? You ever see that?
No.
It's unbelievable. It's this outdoor theater. It's in the program here. I got one in front of you.
Yeah.
But they built this theater in 1916, and it's a Greek theater, meaning it's
outdoors, kind of halfway in the round.
Outdoors, half in the round kind of thing.
With an altar.
And it holds about 400 folks if it's jam-packed. Well, I saw it on a Thursday. They probably had almost 300 in
there. There's no roof on it.
No roof on it. Completely outdoors, surrounded by trees. Because Cranbrook, I guess it's Cranbrook Manor. It's like an old house. And this this Greek theater is on the grounds. And then they have a building where the theater can run indoors as well. But once a year, they do an outdoor production. And I thought it'd be fun. Because I'd been to the grounds and seen the Greek theater. I didn't know they ran any shows there. And then when I was driving by one day on Lone Pine, I saw that they were having Mamma Mia. I asked my girlfriend, you know, because I got to find shit for her to do that's not professional wrestling. So I said, let's go to.
Come on, honey, the roller derby's
in town. If only the roller derby was the old roller derby, I'd probably go, but not anymore.
Baby, it's our anniversary coming up, so I want to take you to something special.
Yeah.
You ever been to see the monster trucks? You know, Gravedigger's going to be there, and, you know, he's pretty amazing.
Bigfoot. Bigfoot 1 through 4, or they're all going to be there, Corey.
It's a battle of the Bigfoots. Hulk Hogan in his monster truck versus the Giant in his monster truck on the roof of Cobo.
So, you know, this is like a community theater production, but they had a full band, which was nice. You know, probably 8 guys, something like that. And they were under a little tent just to the side of the stage, you know. 30 members of the cast. You know, you read this program, they're all, you know, so-and-so was a kindergarten teacher at this. You know, they all have their day jobs in there. But they were good. You know, You certainly go to the theater. You see lots of pretty girls. So if you're not into the play, you're looking at
that. It'd be fun to do it one more time.
It was fun. And you know, the thing is that this theater, you bring whatever you want. So there's people there getting ripped. You know, there's people with picnic baskets, and there's people just sitting there getting, you know, people show up 2 hours early to get their real good seats in the Greek theater, you know, and just getting ripped out. And having a good time.
Can you bring the script of a better play?
Well, to, like, you know, look, the thing about Mamma Mia is that there's probably 6 minutes of actual acting without music behind it in there, and then the rest of it is just songs. And it's all
ABBA music.
All the ABBA songs, you know, and I think there's some extra songs in there to kind of move the plot along, and but it was fine. I never saw the Mamma Mia movie or anything, and I'm sure this would have been better on Broadway, but the people that were in it were pretty good for the most part, so I enjoyed it. You can go, it's playing through June 15th, so that's this weekend, so if you want to go, it's the St. Dunstan's Theater at Cranbrook. Go to the Greek Theater. It's really fun. If you want to take a date somewhere neat, outdoors, it's really cool. It'd be a good comedy venue, too, but I don't think you could do comedy there. I almost asked somebody, I said, would you ever do this? Because, you know, it's kind of like there's surrounding homes in the neighborhood. Yeah, okay. I don't know if you could go in there and tell dick jokes.
I'm busting my nut.
That's the thing. Yeah, I don't know if I...
Hey,
I'm glazing this donut, you see, and a gay, but you know,
but I mean, it was amplified. They were wearing headset mics, most of the cast, and not the chorus, but the leads were all mic'd up, and there was a PA and stuff, and the band was amplified.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I've always found it. I mean, I've had people talk to me about, gee, I got this thing I want to do, a big comedy show and stuff.
Yeah.
I said, you realize you're only 7 miles from one of the best clubs on the face of the planet. You know that, don't you? Why are they going to want to come here instead of go there?
That is the problem, isn't it? Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
No, sometimes guys book shows 2 blocks from
that
club.
Yeah, there's guys who do, and I don't think
I met this knucklehead. He's running this thing called Great Lakes Comedy or something, and he's based in Ann Arbor.
Okay.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. I think I know, but we'll move on.
Okay.
Is there let's name all the knuckleheads.
Table that conversation.
Well, let's do it, right in
table
Roger's backyard. You know, right
table that conversation.
Let's shoot ourselves in the head.
Well, that's a lot of what people don't get when they're trying to run shows. Look, I think it's good that comics run shows because, you know, comics are going to be easier to deal with than a lot of these bookers because these bookers got their heads up their asses a lot of the time. They don't even know who they're booking, and at least comics... all of them.
Okay.
All right.
You mean the venue bookers for
right? The guys that
the guys are sitting in the office and they put you in the foxhole and they're sitting there collecting their commission and they don't give a flying.
And then
fuck.
They go, that the manager of that bar didn't like you very much. He didn't think you were funny. And I'm like, that guy wasn't even in the fucking room.
That's right.
While I was doing the show, he wasn't even there.
I mean, I didn't think your burger was very good either, but I'm not here to judge this.
All right. Well, every time we do this show, I have a little column on the agenda that I make called Dead. And I finally have, usually there's nobody in the Dead column because we just forget about it, but Dr. John died. And I know you're a piano playing guy there, Bill. Any thoughts on Dr. John?
No, I didn't know he died.
Yeah, Dr. John. He was a... Malcolm John Rabenek was his name. He was a session musician in the 60s and 70s and had some of his hits. Do you know how he died, Bill?
He got old. How was that?
No, he was... He was in the right place at the wrong time. That was the
Hey-o!
I was in the right place, but it must have been wrong.
I'm a huge Dr. John fan.
I know. That's why I was... You're a huge Dr. John fan?
Absolutely.
All right. I think this song's good. Everybody knows this.
I mean, you would not think that would be something I'd like, but I love Dr. John.
Really?
Yeah. Mac Rabenek. Funky.
I guess it's good. I mean, didn't you hear this on the radio?
Keep it down, y'all.
Pull up Revolution.
Revolution?
I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time.
Let people hear this a little bit.
I said the right thing, but it must have used
the... Here's Revolution. Let's see what that sounds like.
Now, he did this with Dan Auerbach of...
this is more recent.
Keys. Yeah, this is only about 2015. And he still sounds great. Justice. This album's awesome.
Like, I always know Dr. John when they do, like... the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame concert. He's always sitting there playing piano and, behind, Springsteen or, the Stones. He got me.
I didn't be out of my sanity. saxophone sounds like a giant fart.
This sounds more like the Black Keys than Dr. John, actually.
Well, Dan Auerbach produced it, but yeah. it's a great album.
What about this one, Andrew?
Oh, Ico, Ico. Oh, I love this show.
Come on, Bill. You never got drunk to this?
Really?
I can see Bill playing this. Yeah.
This is on my favorite album, Dr. John's Gumbo.
All right.
Great record. Awesome stuff. I mean, look, he had a long career.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
And I think like a lot happens to a lot of artists, it sounded a little staler or cornier at points in the 80s. But like that revolution was like 4 years ago.
It feels like he had a thing he did, and he kind of just did that thing, and, you know.
Well, he did what thing he did was New Orleans.
Yeah.
But a tremendous session player. Yeah, you know, played on all night.
What about this, Corey? Who knows this one? Who knows this one from Dr. John? Come on.
You never do know what's around the bend. Big adventure, all brand new brand when you're curious.
Do you know what this is? It's the theme to Curious George.
I did not write this. You know, he also did the theme to Popeye's. Popeye's chicken.
Oh, I love that chicken.
Love that chicken with Popeye's. Oh, that's him. Okay. Yeah. He was, of course, the inspiration for... If this sounds a little Muppety to you...
This sounds a little Randy Newman, because he does a lot of that.
Well, Randy Newman,
the
too.
The Pixar stuff.
But you know what? I like Randy Newman.
I like Randy Newman. I like Randy Newman more than Dr. John.
But these are guys that when I was younger, if you told me at like 22, like Dr. John and Randy Newman, you'd like them eventually in your life, I would have been like, why don't you get a bunch of sit on glass, I'm going to go watch Dinosaur Jr. or whatever. You know, I would have.
Man before time.
Right? I was like, you know, I'm going to go listen to the Buzzcocks and fuck you. But I ended up really growing to appreciate Dr. John.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I mean, you think he'd be in better health. I mean, the guy's a doctor, for God's sakes, but I guess it
thank
could,
you.
I guess it could come.
Look.
Don't think I don't have jokes, people. Can you believe Roseanne fired a guy with a wit like that, Bill?
No, I can't.
That's unbelievable.
Unfortunately, he was a voodoo doctor. That was the problem.
Oh, by the way,
help him.
I want to just say this about the Roseanne thing. This is great, too, because, you know, I do the 9:10 a.m. show with Mike Bonner, who I already mentioned today, but it's 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., 9:10 a.m. But us talking about Roseanne is the commercial that they play on that station now. During the commercial break, they do, you know, like, this is stuff you can hear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's us discussing how Roseanne fired me. It's this girl, Coley Cole, that does the show with us. Very passionately telling Roseanne to fuck off. And Joel is this great guy, and you should be honored to have him on the show.
Now,
it was really good. So
how far out of the parking lot can you hear 9:10 a.m.? Is it... on a good day...
You can stream it anywhere on 9:10 a.m.
On a good day, that signal goes all the way from Southfield to the edge of Southfield.
Are you saying you do... Corey, are you saying you're not watching Substation Channel 38.2 on your antenna where it is broadcast?
Why isn't there a picture on there?
That I don't know. I think they don't have the bandwidth for the picture, to be honest with you. I think that's why it's an audio-only feed. But yeah, you go to 9:10 a.m. Superstation. You know, their towers are in Monroe.
Okay.
Which for a Detroit station is not the greatest, but if you're in Toledo, enjoy the urban talk station of Detroit 9:10 a.m. I think
it
that's,
doesn't
I
make
think,
a lot of sense.
Why wouldn't you?
I love Mike.
Yeah, Mike's great.
I love Bonner. I was on that show once, got in a fight with a guy who wanted to free Kwame Kilpatrick.
By the way, they still do. They're on that
every week.
He just did what he learned.
All right. So I can invite
from
you
his,
and
his mother, the congresswoman.
Yep.
Look, you don't have to answer now, but Mike invited me, so I'm going to invite you via me, Corey.
Oh,
on July 10th, will you be attending Mike's birthday kayaking event?
Wow!
Because that's what's going
to
happen. So
I would like
to
see.
If you want to, I'm not going to tell you. I don't want everyone showing up, so I'm not going to say where it is. But I'll tell
much
you
like
off
this comedy picnic.
You don't think you want to go to
see,
Mike Bonner's kayaking birthday
now
adventure?
What is this called? Brothers in Boats? Is this Boats and Hoes? Boats and Hoes 2019.
Oars and Whores.
But we will be kayaking. Yeah, you got to go now. Now you got to go. You made a whole bit out of
Blacks
it.
And kayaks? I want to go. Let's go. Let's... Let's hit it up.
Come on.
I want to see that.
Come on. 25 black ladies trying to not get their hair wet. How fun is this going to be, Corey? Come on.
What kind of rigs are they going to be wearing?
Let's go.
What kind of helmets and shit are we going to get in there to try and keep hair dry? Oh, God.
I mean, the nails are going to be flying, Corey, from those horses. Oh, Jesus. All right, let's...
You got to wear this life jacket. Nobody's going to jack my life.
Rave on the waves with Bonner.
God, I haven't seen Mike in ages.
Well, Mike's doing all right. So let's talk about... boy, we're going to get into TV, but you were telling me that... before we get in, by the way, I think I saw the best movie of the year. We'll talk about it in a second. The streaming services, Corey, are driving you nuts.
Well,
tell us what happened
this
week.
Okay, so Warner, HBO have just announced a plan that would cost $17 a month for a new streaming. So, okay, so, all right, DC Comics has its own.
They have a streaming
service called DC Nation.
Yes.
And it's got. Or whatever, DC Unlimited, whatever it is.
Yeah, you'll find it if you...
Yeah, if you have a Roku TV, it's on there.
Yeah.
And it's all the, you know, if you want to watch the Michael Keaton Batman and the Superman movies, and all the animated shows are in there, and DC does a good job with their...
And digital comics as well?
There are digital comics.
So if you have, like, your Fire tablet you talk about, you could get the comics on there. You
Which
could
is
read
actually really cool, because they go back and have the old ones.
Okay,
And you can look at stuff from the 60s and 70s and whatever, but, like... So if you're a DC fan, it's a cool service, and then they have their own original shows.
Yeah.
I mean, The Flash, all that other stuff is on there.
Uh-huh.
And then they have their own shows. They've got they did a Teen Titan show, Doom Patrol, and then they were going to do Swamp Thing, which...
Well, do you get this thing or not?
Yes.
Okay, you
Although
get it.
I get it through a friend. I'm borrowing, you know, borrowing somebody else's code. But it was like, they gave me their code. I went, I'll take a look. And, you know, it's if you're a fan of that stuff, it's a cool thing.
Yeah.
It's a fun service. But apparently we're not doing the numbers, they thought, because they announced a Swamp Thing show.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, when we've done several Swamp Things, but...
Yeah. Well, I remember the Heather Locklear movie of Swamp Thing, right?
The Return of Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
And, no... Bill's taking a bathroom break.
No,
let's give the guest the worst chair on the face.
That chair's not great. Do you want a pillow or something?
No,
do you
good.
Want
no,
a
no,
something?
I'm good. I just got to stand up a minute.
Let him sit on that. That's
no,
fine.
I'm not sitting on that.
He's not sitting on that.
I don't know where that pillow's been. Screw it.
All right. But anyway, so literally, though, there was talk about they cut the order down from 10 to 13.
Oh, okay. So they're not.
Then they debuted the first episode and announced it was canceled. It's like, and now that led to everybody speculating that they're going to shut the whole service down.
Ooh.
And I feel like there's this rush to have streaming services for every individual property and every individual
thing. Yeah, because everybody's greedy.
And the whole point of people buying Netflix to begin with is that it had everything on it.
That was the idea.
And
which...
it was this, and Hulu were these utopias, and now Disney bought Hulu.
Yeah.
So, the whole streaming utopia is going to come crashing down.
Well, you're going to be watching the original programming from this station. That's what I do. I watch the original stuff that's on HBO. I watch the original stuff that's on Netflix. And then the movies and TV shows, I'm seeing those on some other service. Or I'm going to the theater.
Yeah, but you've already told me what you spend a month to do
It's ridiculous.
Though.
And
it
is too much. And that's why people stop doing it. And believe me, I want to cancel some of these. You know how many wrestling subscription things I got?
God.
Holy shit.
And then you get, like, boxes. You had a subscription box
Pro Wrestling Crate. Yeah, I got that for
wrestling
a while.
Wrestling prescriptions, really? Subscriptions?
Subscriptions.
Sure,
well, to watch the shows.
You
I watch
not real, right?
Well, I watch... Well, it's as real as Swamp Thing. Yeah, I mean, it's as real as anything else.
But Walking Dead is, though.
Yeah, Walking Dead, that's the real shit. But,
you know what else isn't real?
What's that?
The money at comedy clubs in the summer.
Well, that's true, too. So, I mean, maybe DC's better off just, I mean, I'm sure they've crunched the numbers, but wouldn't Amazon or somebody want to just have all that content and license it?
Well, they're going to bundle it into AT&T Warner is going to have a streaming service for $17 a month.
Yeah.
Going to have Cinemax and HBO.
Okay, well, maybe I'll get that, because I have AT&T's cable and fiber internet, so I'm one of their top-tier guys. I got the best internet you can get right now from them. Ran that right to the house there. Wired up Ferndale.
Does it get you laid?
I mean, I guess it could. It depends. I don't know who with.
Just want to make sure it's worth it.
So anyway, that's you know, if you're a comic fan,
I thought it was more interesting. It was just instructive of all these.
Yeah, look,
all these digital services, all these streaming services.
But don't you think, because Amazon's doing or Apple's doing that now, where Apple has their service and then you subscribe to HBO through Apple service, and then Apple's going to have their original shows and they're going to have that. And
I mean, whatever you can do to get the content out there, I get, but. Nobody can afford the whole. If the whole premise of we're going to cut the cable box and just go down to like $8 a month for Netflix,
right?
And then it's all going to be $22 a month for all these services. I'm paying too much for. I've got satellite radio.
Oh yeah. You don't need that. Bill was talking about getting Stitcher Premium because he wants more of the old Gilbert shows. So there's that. That's a thing I do. You know. So I mean. Do I need that? Not really, but I enjoy the stuff that I listen
just
to.
Make sure I take those beer cans back every month and get the deposits. I can pay for it.
Anyway. All right,
I want to say the second or third Gilbert episode was Larry Storch. And it was great. And it was Larry Storch doing bar jokes from the 30s.
I know. I heard the clip show that they did. They had a sample of stuff.
Oh, did they?
You know,
yeah,
like Bob Eisenstein, shit like that. Yeah, I want to go back and catch some of that old stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Larry Storch, holy cow.
Speaking of streaming, boy, I've been watching a lot of stuff on the streaming stuff. In fact, I'm going to lead with the thing that I think, I guess I would call this the best movie I've seen all year, even though it's a documentary and it's in two parts.
And it's only June.
And it's 3 hours long and it's only June. But I don't know if you saw it, Corey. Muhammad Ali, What's My Name, is so great on HBO. It's 3 hours. Now, look, there's been 87 Muhammad Ali documentaries that have come out in the last decade, and I've watched all of them, and I enjoy them. And I went like, why should I even bother with this new one? What is there possibly to learn? But the approach to this was really just, we're just going to show clips of his fights, clips from the news, clips from his interviews. There's no talking heads remembering anything. It's literally just what happened condensed down to 3 hours from when he's a kid fighting in Golden Gloves all the way to the day he dies. And, you know, with music behind it. And it's really well done. Anton Fuqua, who made Training Day and a bunch of other movies, good director.
And this is on what?
Made this on HBO.
Okay.
And boy, it's 3 hours, and it flew by, and I thought this was so great, seeing all of the clips of his fights and stuff. And
did he die at his home in Michigan? Is that where he died?
I don't know. Where did Ali die?
I believe so.
In Michigan, yeah. He lived in western Michigan.
Berrien County.
Yeah.
Berrien Springs.
Yeah, and you'll see that. You'll see that in the documentary. I thought this was fantastic. Did you watch it, Corey, or no?
I saw some of it. I didn't.
Yeah, it's great. It's 3 hours, so it leads up to the first half goes through Ali Frazier 1. And then the second half is from there until he dies. And it's very refreshing in the documentary format to not have, you know, an interview with Leon Spinks remembering their fight and all that shit. Because, you know, it's all contemporary. It's as if you were there.
He hit me so hot.
And, you know, let's face it, Ali, the other thing.
What's Leon going to remember?
The other thing about it is that so much of Ali, you know, and rightfully so, was, you know, about how he, you know, avoided the draft and it went to the Supreme Court. And, you know, some people have made, you know, made him into a saint. And I think that this movie makes it kind of shows what, in the fairest light possible, you know, not in one way or the other, a very good. I thought the Ali movie that came out a few years ago with Will Smith was pretty awful. But this I really enjoyed. I think this is probably the best thing I saw all year. It's on HBO. It's in two parts. It's kind of long, but it's very well done. And
it's a little bit like Monday morning quarterbacking, but looking back at what we know about those times and the decisions he made, he was right.
He was right, yeah. And the thing about Ali, too, and what makes it great is that he was one of the most entertaining personalities that's ever lived. And you see all that. I mean, there's tons of Dick Cavett interviews. Dick Cavett's in the ring with the shirt off training with Ali at one point.
That was great.
A lot of Howard Cosell interviews, which were all fantastic and great. I mean, then the fight clips.
Yeah.
By the way, the most entertaining fight in there, if you see this, which I should really kind of get the whole thing, is George Foreman versus Joe Frazier.
Foreman beat the
Joe Frazier,
shit out of him.
Joe Frazier literally turns his back and is running full sprint away from Foreman, and Foreman's punching him in the back of the head. It's so funny, man, to watch Frazier just turn into the biggest pussy. It was great. So, and of course, Ali's fights are real entertaining for the most part. And it gets sad after a while. You know, the Larry Holmes. There's a lot of Larry Holmes stuff. And
when he had a mustache, that was the end.
Well, you also see, you know, they do these interviews, and they're, you know, and you see his voice slowing down.
Yeah.
And getting talking way slow. And the interviewers were like, look, people are worried about you maybe getting a little punchy there. Oh, no, I'm as sharp as I've ever been, and I'm gonna show Ken Norton when I... And it's just sad, and it's like, geez.
The Louisville Lip.
Yeah, it was great. Great, great show. It's on HBO. I
mean, When We Were Kings was the documentary from the 90s. That's fantastic.
Yes, that was Ali Foreman.
Yeah, that was the whole
Rumble
fight.
Rumble
in
the Jungle.
Yeah, I'll try to watch more of that.
And the Ali Frazier One documentary that was on HBO was great, too. Just a couple of them that I can remember. But, no, this thing's great. It's a real easy watch. Again, it's 3 hours, but it was fantastic. So I
was
really
it two 90-minute segments?
Two 90-minute parts, yeah. It's on HBO, so watch that. Well, you want to stay on HBO here with the next thing?
Whatever you got on.
I've only seen.
We're here just sitting at the feet of the Lord.
Well, I ask you.
Bill, what do you got?
You're free to go whenever you want.
I can't afford to spend $200 a month to watch this shit. I'm sorry. I got nothing. I got nothing.
You're living in a rent controlled apartment paying the price of a dowager aunt in the 40s.
What the
I know what your rent is. Look. You can afford it.
So share your password with Hildebrand.
Yeah,
why don't
you? Sure.
And we'll get him HBO, and we'll get him
get me brought up to speed.
Right, did you see any of Chernobyl? That's real good.
Yeah,
I saw the first episode.
Did you?
That's
okay.
All I was allowed to see because I just saw the one sample.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
put
yeah.
There, but I'm dying to see the rest.
Yeah, it was the first episode was great, man. Holy shit! What a grim thing though. It's only 5 episodes. Thank you.
Yeah, I did get somebody else's password now for HBO now, so I'm good to go.
There you go. Watch the Ollie thing. Watch Chernobyl. It's real good. Yeah, this Chernobyl thing is insane, so unbelievable.
I better say this. She's going to listen. Thank you, Martha. I got her password.
Thank you, Martha.
I have not dived into Chernobyl yet.
Yeah.
I saw a little couple scenes.
Yeah.
But there's a guy on YouTube that's great who's named Bald and Bankrupt.
Okay.
He's a British guy who loves to... He does... tour guide trips
to
the most jacked up parts of the former Soviet Union. And he looks for like Soviet, he's like, let's go to Belarus. Yeah. What do you think? And like, you know, he goes to Moldavia. And it's like, and these just incredible vodka soaked old people that it looks like they're still living in like the 50s. It's crazy. And he goes into the Chernobyl zone.
Yeah.
And he goes into the radiation zone. And there's still, like, people living in there.
Yeah.
There's, like, little villages with, like, 6 people.
That's insane.
And it's crazy. Bald and Bankrupt, look him up.
It was 400 times Hiroshima as far as the radiation went.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. And the other thing is I wasn't even maybe going to watch this thing because I was like, I don't know if it's going to be in Russian. It isn't. It's all guys with British accents. But what I read is I read an article that according to IMDb, this is now based upon fan voting, user voting, the highest rated television show of all time, according to IMDb.
By not viewership, but
by people rated. No, by people rated, meaning user reviews.
Yeah, sure.
It beat. I think Breaking Bad was number one, and The Wire might have been number two, and this thing was higher than all that. And I go, shit, I got to watch this. So I only got to see the first.
Yeah,
but it was real good.
Viewer ratings versus critic ratings.
Yeah,
I like that.
There is a movie I just saw that is called The Souvenir.
The Souvenir.
And on Rotten Tomatoes, it is 90% for the critics.
Yeah.
And like 35% for the audience.
Yeah.
And you really get like the stark contrast.
Yeah.
And I went to a movie last night where the audience clearly didn't understand what they were watching.
Oh.
And I was laughing and I enjoyed it.
What was that?
It's called The Dead Don't Die.
Oh, okay.
Which is the new Jim Jarmusch movie.
Yeah, is that good?
And it's Bill Murray, Adam Driver, Chloe Sevigny, Steve Buscemi. Iggy Pop.
Yeah, I saw this. I might go to this.
Iggy Pop's a zombie.
Should I go to this?
Well, if you like Jim, if you've seen a Jim Jarmusch movie before, it's this super deadpan.
Yes.
It's basically like Bill Murray's the sheriff of this real small town,
mm-hmm.
and Danny Glover's in there, and it's kind of like these real small lives. These people are like, hey, you want to go over to the diner and get a coffee?
Yeah.
They're just real kind of like low energy. And then a zombie apocalypse breaks out, and they're still just kind of like, well, ain't that a son of a bitch? Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's really deadpan funny.
Okay, yeah.
And they even like comment on the movie, like they keep playing the theme song of the theme song for the movie, and they're like, it's by Sturgill Simpson. He's real good.
Okay.
And then, you know, at one point a girl stops to buy the CD and holds up the CD. Oh, and what's her name? Selena Gomez is in this.
All right, well, don't ruin it.
No, but it is basically, look, it's a bunch of wacky kind of hipster Hollywood people having, it's a spoof of it's like a parody of a zombie movie.
Yeah.
It's like it's a Jim Jarmusch styled yes. zombie movie. And I felt like the people in that audience had never seen, you know,
yeah.
Down by Law or
Mystery Train,
yeah. any of that shit, or yeah. weren't into. So if you've ever seen a Jim Jarmusch movie and you like that style, much like Wes Anderson,
yeah,
has a real deadpan
style. I like Jim Jarmusch, so I should probably see this. But I don't know.
It was fun. I knew what it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think the audience thought it was going to be a real regular zombie movie.
Yeah,
there is gore and stuff in it.
Okay,
but it's like, oh, Tilda Swinton is in there being crazier than she normally is,
that's
incredibly
saying a lot.
High level. But I'm finding that the disconnect between critics and audiences is getting wider and wider.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because what we look for as a critic is not what the regular people are.
Well, when you see everything,
right.
when something comes along that's different, it's refreshing.
You're more excited.
But if you're only going to the movies a few times a year, well, you want to see that big archetypal story that sometimes is very predictable to a critic.
This is why married guys get real excited to go to Vegas. I mean, you know, you want to break out of the shell and get something fresh, you know?
You know, but when we had Gilbert Gottfried, you know, in Paisanos.
Yeah.
Same thing happened. And we took him. I mean, all the radio stations wanted him when we had him in town.
Yeah.
Even had Ken Brown called me. I said, how come you didn't contact me and let me know?
Yeah.
To put him on. You know, Mitch. I mean, but, so anyway.
I don't think people want him on anymore because they're all kind of be afraid of Gilbert.
Well, radio's afraid of
comics. Well, I'll tell you what.
Now,
he did one of the funniest things I'd ever heard on radio, which is typical Gilbert, where he just took a joke and just kept screaming it over and over again, you know. But anyway, so a lot of media types showed up.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a lot of folks in the industry.
Yeah.
And as they're coming up the stairs, and I'm at the top of the stairs, and I'm listening to the comments, and of course, a lot of these people go, man, I'll tell you what, that guy is just so deep. I mean, that was really good.
Yeah.
That was really something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe Sixpack's coming up, you know, with his flannel shirt.
Yeah.
And you know, I paid $16 for this shit. You got to be kidding me.
Well, that's why Gilbert does two shows now, basically, in the same show. He ends it with all, like, street jokes. It's all, like, dirty limericks and, you know.
Yeah.
A rabbi walks into a bar and says, ouch, who put that there? Whatever. It's all just dumb shit like that, right? But the first half is for him.
Yeah.
And it's him doing, like, Ben Gazzara material.
Yeah.
And he was, I saw him do... He had a bit where it was Dr. Zaius from Planet of the Apes talking to Katharine Hepburn. Well, Katharine, how are you doing? And it was just like them back. It was so fun. I'm dying in the back of the room. And the rest of the audience is like, what is this? Like, how long is he going to do this?
Yeah.
And he did like 20 minutes on Planet of the Apes. And I'm dying. And then he rewards them with, you know, street jokes. So, I mean, you know.
Well, it's like when you do Steve Harvey and Family Feud, that just kills me.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody else is staring at you, but I just think that's.
Well,
it's not. I've seen people laugh at that.
Come on. I put a dig in and now I'm an asshole.
No.
Every time Bouchard's, if I'm on a show with Bouchard, he's like, you got to do that.
You got to do the Steve Harvey bit.
And then I don't do it every, you know, I mean, some nights I might not do it. But he's always going to see me do that.
All right. Well, let's go into... Now, this I heard was good, and
but comics love impressions of other comics, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's... I mean, we're definitely going to be marks for that.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. I think I am. I don't know.
Your Roseanne...
It depends. I mean,
people loved your Roseanne impression.
Yeah. Fuck Joel. He's off the show. Hey! He got Trump and a bucket of chicken up there, and he's off.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. Fuck him. Making fun of me on his fucking podcast, that fucking asshole.
I'd rather shove a hand grenade in my pussy than watch Joel's set.
So I watched the show.
What did you see?
So I, you know, Corey, you probably watch this because we are in relationships with women. You saw something called Dead to Me on Netflix. Have you?
We haven't seen that one yet.
Oh.
No, I know what it is. It's Christina Applegate.
Christina Applegate and Linda Cardellini.
Yeah.
Who meet at a grief recovery meeting. Have you seen this show? You have
I got
Netflix.
15 minutes into it, and I
yeah, well,
it off.
You might have saved yourself 8 hours of whatever.
Right,
here's the thing. I think it's probably 5 hours. It's 10.5 hours, I think. But, you know, they meet at a, you know, her Christina Applegate's husband has died, and so they meet at this grief meeting, and they end up becoming, you know, fast friends. But then there's a secret. There's a twist, which I won't get into here. But basically, some people are not being honest about who they are or where they came from. And there's a little bit of a... Now, meanwhile, it's got a like a true crime twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, none of this is believable. This is, you know, Desperate Housewives level of
is it,
stuff.
Is this like the garage sale mysteries on Hallmark Channel?
Well, this might be the...
Those are my favorite things.
She's a real estate agent, which is I think is the new occupation for women.
Have you seen the chocolate chip cookie murders?
I have not seen that, but that's on Lifetime. But no, but I mean, like, Reese Witherspoon is a real estate agent on Big Little Lies, and this kind of feels like that in a way.
Is this, I love when Reese Witherspoon is an unlovable... No one will date her. She's down in her luck.
She's married on that show.
No one will fuck Reese Witherspoon in these romantic comedies.
No, now
she's just a career girl.
No, it's not a romantic
comedy.
She
can't catch a dick.
Now she's like a mom who's a bitch, which is
right.
Kind of what Christina Applegate is playing in this too. Look, the acting's real good, but I thought the tone of this, because it's supposed to be like a black comedy, like the first episode is like darkly comedic, and then it becomes completely serious at times.
Mm-hmm.
James Marsden is in this, if you're a fan of him.
One of the funniest guys.
One of the
funniest guys working.
One of America's great
he's
himbos.
He's no Steve Landisberg. But let me tell you, what a side-splitting comedic actor that fucking guy is.
So here's my review of Dead to Me, Corey. It's a review. I don't know that other shows have picked this up, but they really should. It's for girls.
Yeah.
That's my review of
Couldn't
this show.
Couldn't they get Ike Barinholtz to suck the funny out of the room?
Well, he's nowhere near as handsome as James Marsden,
oh,
Corey.
Jesus
I mean,
Christ.
Come on.
When I think comedy, I think James Marsden.
Well, he played a robot on Westworld. That's why. That's the range.
Unbelievable.
Of yeah, he's a mechanical
range.
Man. But anyway, he's not that bad in this. The acting's actually Edward Asner, Corey. How much would you pay?
All right, I like Ed Asner.
Edward Asner. He plays Bill Hildebrandt. No, that's a joke. But Ed Asner plays a guy in a guy.
I would pay. What streaming service do I have to buy to watch the Ed Asner in Bill?
The one-man show of Bill Hildebrandt.
No, it's a sitcom where every week Hildebrandt walks into a comedy club and goes, what's this fucking guy doing with the shorts? Come on.
Chico
you
and
can't
the man.
Do 45 minutes of cartwheels and backflips. You can't take that on the road.
Oh, you're still dogging me over that.
Ed Asner.
I saw Larry Reeb do that joke in 1983. Well,
you know, I guess should I ruin it? Look, the love scenes between Asner and Applegate are really some of the hottest things.
Yeah.
That streaming can... No, there's no love scenes.
Hot,
but,
hot Ed Asner action.
Only Netflix can contain... Look, when James Marsden bends Ed Asner over, it's unbelievable.
All right. So far, you've told me about Mamma Mia, Christina Applegate. Did you have a thoughts on the Tonys?
Yeah.
Is there any?
The
no.
Tonys, but...
Oh, did you watch any of that?
I didn't watch the Tonys, but we did see.
No,
Adam...
scroll down. Where are your notes on Pose? Are they available? No.
Yeah, well, I did finish Fosse Verdon on FX since we talked last.
So did I.
Yeah, so fuck you then, you fat bastard.
Well, my bit about the gayest thing a straight man can do is get married.
Well,
is
that's
completely true.
True.
You're sitting there, I'm going, ooh, will he be able to complete Lenny and Chicago at the same time?
Fosse Verdon was great. That was a real good show.
Oh my God, the stress of producing Redhead with Gwen Verdon is getting too much. What will happen?
Oh, come on.
Will their love endure?
I thought she was a fine Liza. People are criticizing her on the message boards about her portrayal of Liza. I thought the Liza was fine. It was
I
very good
the,
Liza.
The girl who's playing Anne Rankin is great. The girl who's playing Liza was not good.
I mean, the Ben Vereen was a little bit of a stretch for me to suspend disbelief, but I... Look.
Who's the guy playing Paddy Chayefsky? He's
great. That guy was great. There's a guy that plays Neil Simon.
Yeah.
That's a great show. And you know, it's funny.
By the way, there's a whole episode where they're at, like, they're in the Hamptons at a beach house.
Yes.
And it rains the whole weekend. So Paddy Chayefsky and Neil Simon have to sit around drinking beers
it's actually...
with Bob Fosse. And I'm a straight man. I just wanted to know.
What's this on?
It's on FX. It's called Fosse Verde. It's the story of Bob Fosse and his wife, Gwen Verde.
All right.
It's very good.
Sam Rockwell's great.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell's
great. And Michelle Williams is really good,
yes,
too.
Yes, it's a great show.
It was well done. I'm goofing on you, but come on.
Do you know the girlfriend, the chippy that Fosse picks up, you know, towards the end of the series?
Mm-hmm.
That's Andy McDowell's daughter.
Oh.
It kind of looks like her when you think about it,
no.
Right? Yeah. Andy McDowell. I've seen her.
Hand me a pen.
Got to write down all these shows.
I got to write these shows down. Yeah, last time I made a list, I ran into some real gold. Yeah.
Well, Chernobyl, Fosse Verdon, and the Muhammad Ali thing are great. Dead to Me, you don't necessarily need, but...
Speaking of streaming, I only watched the pilot.
Oh, okay.
Or the first episode. But there's a new Catch-22.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that yet. How is that?
It's pretty interesting.
We were deciding between starting Chernobyl or that, and so I went with Chernobyl.
There's a movie version of Catch-22, which was a bomb when it came out. But I like it a lot, actually, with Alan Arkin.
Yeah.
And Orson Welles.
Okay.
Clooney is in this as the colonel.
Yeah.
And it's actually some of Clooney's... I think getting old was a good move for Clooney.
Yeah.
Like, he's, you know what I mean? He doesn't have to be the, look how handsome and cute I am. He can kind of ease into these parts.
Right.
So I like the first one. There's some graphic nudity and sex in this.
Oh.
So there you go.
Is that Asner?
Yeah, it's Ed Asner just getting poleaxed by George Clooney. Just getting Pride Fest shout outs.
Oh, my goodness.
Just. Going to town on that Asner butt. You haven't seen Asner get fucked that hard since Gabe Kapler beat him in the, in the Battle of the Network Stars.
You gotta shave that butt, Ed.
Oh, my God. Clooney's got a nice little mustache.
Oh, God.
But no, it's... Catch 22 is one of my favorite
books. Did I tell you about my ex-girlfriend who was an actress?
Oh, God.
And she auditioned... And was in the final callbacks to do some movie they shot here when they were shooting all the movies. And the catch in the movie was, look, just so you know, and they told her this at the audition, you're going to have a love scene with Brian Dennehy.
Whoa!
And she goes, I'm fine having sex with Brian Dennehy on camera, and then they didn't
cast her. I mean, she was banging you.
Well,
where's the downside? She'll obviously do anything.
She's been rehearsing for ages.
Whoa. I mean, I think the weirdest thing about fucking Brian Dennehy is when he pulls his eyelid down and shows you he's an alien.
Oh, God.
That's probably the weirdest part. That was a Cocoon reference.
Cocoon. Oh.
Well done.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Nice.
Thank you.
I lost the timely 1985
you know?
Steve Guttenberg vehicle. You tried to drop a reference on me, and it slipped right out of my hands. I've been like... Wow, I've been waiting for a Jessica Tandy Hume Cronin film. Oh.
Look, Gilbert's
sex scenes in Cocoon.
Gilbert's making
that
jokes.
That Tandy and Cronin hot fucking, that was some good stuff.
When Gilbert's making jokes about fucking Margaret Dumont, you get those. But I'd make one
I'm sorry.
Cocoon reference.
The Cocoon joke.
50 years sooner than that shit.
He said Cocoon, by the way.
Cocoon. Cocoon. That was a good movie. Second one, as good.
I was going to make a joke about that kayak trip, but I'm going to let that be. All right,
let's move on to, speaking of biopics, and one thing when we talk about Fosse Verdon before, I go, boy, what a refreshing.
What's something gayer?
No,
let's
but I
talk about Rocket
what
Man.
A good, well, no, I was going to say that as a biopic, you know, that's how it's done right as opposed to Bohemian Rhapsody, which I didn't like. But you've seen Rocket Man.
I saw Rocket Man.
Which is made by the same people that made Bohemian Rhapsody, and speaking of piano playing musicians, is Dr. John, Elton John. I'm trying to. How was Elton John not Dr. John secretly? Well, that would have been a great other guys, right?
You know, it's weird. Dr. John was the inspiration for Dr. Teeth.
Oh.
On the Muppets.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And Elton John was on the Muppets.
Oh.
So I don't know why they didn't have a crossover. All without. Right.
Well, tell us about Rocket Man, Bill.
Horrible.
No, no good.
That's it.
What'd you say? Well,
number one, I didn't. It said it was a biopic.
Yeah.
Okay, and I go, all right, fine. It's a musical.
Now?
Yes.
Ooh.
And a lot of the music they played is a lot of the shit that Elton did. I don't care for.
Yeah, there's stuff. There's like
Benny
Elton John stuff
Jets,
you do
stop
like.
Stop it! You know,
yeah.
Crocodile Rock. Get out of here! I don't need any of that. Yeah. The best tune in the thing was Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
Yeah.
The rest of it's shit.
Okay.
Well, the thing with Elton John, can we even appreciate it anymore because it's been played so much? Like, Crocodile Rock is probably one of the top overplayed songs in the history of radio.
Yeah.
I want to say, like, Brown Eyed Girl is, I never have to hear a note of Brown Eyed Girl for the rest of my life. And Crocodile Rock, they've just been abused by DJs with small playlists.
Is it the tune of Brown Eyed Girl or the fact that he says brown eye and gets away with it?
Well, John Lennon said he was going to make your brown eye blue. If I catch that girl, I'm going to get you in the end, little girl.
Yeah.
Which is one of the great tributes.
Another man. That's
one of the great tributes to anal rape that have ever been put into a song. Who was going to make the brown eye blue? What was that?
I'm going to make your brown eyes blue.
Crystal Gayle.
Was that it?
Don't it make my brown eyes blue?
Oh.
And you lose points for
I listen to 70s radio.
We've already determined the profession. We're just negotiating price at this point. We already know.
That's right.
What a Fruit Loop Joel is over here. What?
Well, look, I went to Mamma Mia, which wasn't really all that bad. It was fine. It was probably better than
a lot of musicals. You get pegged one time.
Oh, stop it. Sorry. So no to Rockin' Man. Now, did you see Bohemian Rhapsody? Was it better than
No, I haven't
that,
seen or? It yet. And, I wanted to see it in a theater where I could turn it up, but, as Corey says, I'm living in a refrigerator box behind a titty bar in 8 Mile, so I can't turn it up. But I got decent headphones.
Okay.
I can do it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like Bohemian Rhapsody.
The problem is, there's no dollar. Is there? You go out to Farmington and go to the Farmington Civic where they have the dollar rep theater. We need those.
Yeah, they're not around much anymore.
They got rid of the dollar theaters where you can see the stuff from 3 months ago.
Right. So anyway. So Rocket Man, not that great. And I, everyone knows I like rock and roll, and they're like, you're going to Rocket Man? And I go, I don't know. I have a feeling there's going to be a million of these. Now, not to mention, not only was there Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocket Man, there are two movies coming out where they're not biopics, but they're about a major artist. You know about these? There's Yesterday.
I saw that.
Which
I
is
saw
Danny
the
Boyle.
For that.
Where it's like a kid, he hits his head and he wakes up and the Beatles don't exist, so he pretends he wrote all the songs.
Yeah, so he gets all the songs.
I read some kind of lousy reviews coming out of Cannes for that one, even though Danny Boyle's a pretty reliable director. And, of course, I love the Beatles, but I don't know if I'm going to be in for that one. And then the other one, which is also stars like an Indian guy or a Pakistani guy, is Blinded by the Light, which is about a kid. I think he's a kid. He's living in London. Or is he living in PAX? I get confused between Yesterday and that, but he likes Springsteen.
Yes.
And Springsteen.
Yeah. I saw the trailer
for that. And the trailer's fantastic for that, and I've heard that one.
So what's this trend with the Indian movies?
I don't know. It's just Indians listening to classic rock and getting inspired. I don't know.
There's got to be some sort of market research that says this is a trend.
Blinded by the Light was a book.
There's 800 million people in India?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of Indians. But this was a book, and it was this guy's true story. He's a journalist. And he was a kid, and he liked Springsteen, and it wasn't cool.
Yeah, that's what
But
they said
he became a big writer based upon his love of Bruce. And, Bruce authorized all the music to be in it and stuff. And they're saying that's going to be real good. So that also comes out this summer. So there's a lot of, what they're finding is that to bring people to the theater, they need that classic rock and roll because, this teeny bopper shit, no one's, paying money to see. It's such a wider audience you're going to get with Elton John or Queen or Springsteen or the Beatles.
There's no in between. You're either appealing to the old folks or you've got all the animated, Toy Story 12
young people like Queen now because of the movie. And young people, they're hoping, will like Elton John and the Beatles and shit like that too. So we'll see. I don't know. But
this is the only time in the history of America where being a middle-aged white man means your tastes aren't catered to.
Yeah, in a sense, yeah. It's become the media.
I'm kidding, of course. But,
well, yeah, I mean,
but not the way they used to.
It's not the way it used to be. They want young people that aren't us. You know,
it used to be guys. Like 40-year-old white guys were the desirable market.
Well, because there's so damn many of them.
And they got money.
That was the end of the baby boomers. Man.
Millennials got money.
That was
now.
The population.
Yeah, you bastards. They can't end soon enough.
Well, I will be exploring this idea more at the Bob Seger concert on Friday night out at DTE, so I'll be out there.
Oh, my God.
I'm going Friday.
Oh, you bastard.
What happened?
My girlfriend's mom, like, never saw Bob Seger. She's been a fan. I forget what it is. So my girlfriend goes, can we get my mom a Bob Seger ticket? Would you be okay, you know, if we chipped in? You know, I said, okay. She goes, well, then we have to go, too. So I said, all right. And I go, well, if we're going, my Uncle Albert's wife won't let him go to Bob Seger because the tickets are too expensive. So we're picked up a ticket for Uncle Albert, so now we got a whole crew going.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. We're so sorry, Uncle
Well,
Albert.
It's a Uncle Albert.
We haven't done a bloody thing.
Admiral Halsey was not invited, so, no.
I'm making a real relevant Wings joke from the mid-70s.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see a nostalgia act. We just bought tickets for Beck.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But Cage the Elephant and Spoon are opening.
Well,
so
that'll be. I saw Beck open for you two, and Beck has a hell of a playlist that he can play.
And he doesn't.
And
do
on
it.
Paper, you watch it, and then you see him doing it, it's kind of like.
I felt like you're getting kind of a like triple header show.
Yeah,
with I'd go see Cage the Elephant anyway. Yeah. So,
I mean, Beck has a great catalog of songs. When he does them, he doesn't seem into them, and
he's not out
the
there
audience.
Doing. Devil's Haircut and shit.
No, he'll do that. No, he'll do that. But with opening for you, too, it was like his greatest hits. It was all.
I've seen Beck, but.
I think he might have opened with Devil's
But the
Haircut.
Wife is not. So
yeah, I mean, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you could do worse. Bob Seger.
Well,
maybe.
All the 90s bands are on. I could. Bob Seger.
Well, the 90s
I don't have. Okay, I don't have. Yeah. I don't understand. I mean, I don't have any East Side genes in me. I am utterly resistant to metal and, like, dad rock. I really,
Bob Seger,
like,
is not an East Side phenomenon, trust me.
Yeah, it is. It's no, a Macomb
it's
County.
It is not.
What?
It's
I don't get the Bob Seger.
It's a generational thing that you don't
Brad
get.
Brad Wenzel, who's
Brad
like
Wenzel
25,
has a Bob Seger podcast.
Loves Bob Seger.
So?
I'm like, what? This is the farty Springsteen,
well,
Bob Seger, farty old man, bad rock.
It's not an East Side, West Side thing where, like, Corey grew up in the, you know, the all culture surrounded Corey. Only high.
I just don't know what it is.
Corey grew up watching PBS and going to the opera.
I kind of did.
You did not.
I was hip deep in Jews.
Please.
What? No, I don't know. I just
Bill,
don't.
We're turning to you.
No. No, keep going. This
big,
is hilarious.
Are you going to Bob Seger?
Are you a big Seger guy?
Are you a fan?
Yeah, and I looked at the ticket prices, and I said, no. Nah,
you can get lawn seats for like $25, $30.
Dude, I don't want to sit on the lawn.
Well, that's okay. my girlfriend's mom.
I get on the grass,
she doesn't
want people to get up.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. My dad loves Seger.
All right.
I had to hate it then.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to
that's
that?
Fine.
Isn't that the natural order of things? Much
yeah,
like
pretty much.
Much like the veterans sit on the other side from the newbies at the picnic. Like, you're not supposed to like the stuff your dad liked.
My dad didn't like rock and roll.
No, your dad liked organ grinder music.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
That's
amore.
But my dad just was working. I don't think my dad had a lot of. He didn't go to rock concerts. He was like.
I don't have time for that shit.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm working.
Yeah, he doesn't really.
When I was your age, we didn't
my mom
have music.
My mom would drag him to Neil Diamond and shit like that.
I gotta work 14 hours, then I gotta go down to the race, Wyatt, and beat up on the spagoons. So I don't have time to listen to your rock and roll.
Plus, we got something we gotta take care of this weekend. They ain't got
you know what I'm saying? We got a little business.
We got some
business. We got a guy. He didn't know his rule. He stepped out of line.
We thought he was a friend of ours. He's not a friend of ours. We gotta do something.
Bobby Vinton's playing at the Copa this weekend. Let's go over there. Yeah. My dad just wasn't in the right. He just it wasn't in his wheelhouse. So I don't know. I was into that. I don't know. What can I tell you? All right. So Corey, let's.
Bobby Vinton. Thank you so much. Oh my!
I said it's a Bobby Vinton. Yeah.
Jerry Vale.
Jerry Vale.
Yeah. You saw the latest X-Men movie?
Oh, did
Dark
I ever?
Phoenix.
Oh.
You know what my dad's into? He loves that X-Men series.
Yeah, doesn't he? Can't wait to go watch. Your dad was like, you know, I liked Mamma Mia, but I wasn't into Bohemian Rhapsody. I don't know. Your dad is not like this. Your dad,
no, my dad.
Dad's a nice old man. I like your dad, but look, It's funnier.
My dad, no, but tell us about this act, because the X-Men
franchise. Mama Luke with the X-Men. Was it you? Somebody said that you should just call all the X-Men movies X-Men.
Yeah, that's my theory. Just call it X-Men. And Fast and the Furious, just call that Fast and the Furious when that comes out. Because nobody cares.
Now the new one is called
people away. No, I think they know
that. I know,
that.
But the new one is, the new Fast and the Furious is like The Rock and Jason Statham.
Yes, it's not even
It's called
that.
Like Hog and Bruggs or whatever. Hyde and Biggs or some guys you're supposed to know who they are.
Yes.
Hyde and Biggs.
I don't know. I don't even know. Hobbs and something.
Kramus and Brannon. It's something like that. Yes.
Yeah. Hildebrand DeFore, and they took out a billboard on 75. It was incredible. It was like, wow. What a name, star power. It's like when we called our podcast Corey and Joel, and not a single fucking soul cared for 30 years. All right, look.
It paid for itself, so go fuck yourself.
Oh.
We were taking pictures of that.
I know. You got... Your
well,
finger
the,
like this
the
in
great
front of the
that
billboard.
Was me that did that by the way.
I thought about climbing up it.
Bill,
I really did think about.
But you remember that the DeFore Hildebrand doubleheader was the and I don't think did it actually happen during the blackout.
That's that
blackout
was the big
night. Yeah, I was opening that night.
That was the big weekend.
Yeah, it was the big weekend.
That was called Are the Blades on the Neon tour now.
Well, the great blackout of 2003 or whenever that was.
Yeah.
Was that weekend, and you guys had power but no air conditioning, or was it?
No, they canceled the show.
Oh, that's right,
yeah. Didn't do it.
Yeah, it was crazy. Tell us about this X-Men movie, Corey, or should we not even bother?
This is the thankful end of the Fox X-Men series.
Yes.
There's been, I don't even know how many X-Men movies.
I couldn't tell you because there's Wolverine movies. There was, what was the Wolverine movie? Where was his name? All right, there was that thing.
I think there are 7 X-Men movies and then 3 Wolverine solo movies.
Yeah.
And everybody's been really ripping on this one.
Yeah.
It got, abysmal numbers.
I think I have the Metacritic up here.
All right, pull that up.
Let me see. Dark Phoenix got a 43 from the critics.
Okay.
So there you go.
I think it's lower on Rotten Tomatoes. Although, I feel like the Rotten Tomatoes metric is off.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You got to switch over to Metacritic, like me. I'm on that.
All right. I've got the more accurate aggregator. Man.
Let me push my glasses up to the bridge of my nose and tell you about it.
Technically, the scores on Metacritic are more accurately calibrated. But look, we used to have a button when we did sound effects that was a... like 60s computer sound, like whenever they'd have one of those giant computers,
it was like a Doctor Who sound,
and it would push out like a tape, like they'd be like, hold on, and it would push out a card.
I used to love that
whenever we have nerd stuff.
Bust my balls.
Now we're ranking Black Mirror episodes on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right, come on, let's get to this.
People got
a life.
This is the end of, they don't if they're listening to all this. Whole, look, we've determined that. This is 21% on Rotten Tomatoes. How is it 20 points worse than Metacritic? Anyway,
because Metacritic is the actual review of the movie, not a strict thumbs up, thumbs down.
Okay.
So when you're talking about Rotten Tomatoes, most critics, 21% of them only liked the movie, but here you could give it a 5 and that would count as a 5, whereas a 5 in Rotten Tomatoes is a 0.
Well, actually it's 2364 audience.
Okay. Yeah.
And,
X-Men fans probably like this.
And that's the thing with the comic book fans. We're almost getting to the point where this shit's ungradable.
Yeah, it's
unreviewable.
You only need to please the fans and the critics don't really matter.
Crowd pleasing.
Yeah. I didn't think it was as bad as everyone said.
Well,
but it felt pointless.
I saw the first couple of X-Men's back in the day in early 2000s, late 90s even maybe. And then I saw what was the one where Wolverine, what was his name? Where was like the,
Logan?
That was real good. That was great.
Yeah, everybody liked the last
where they kind of broke away from the formula. And then the other one I really liked was X-Men First Class, where they brought they had all the X-Men as their younger forms and put Jennifer Lawrence debuted in that.
This is the third movie.
Yeah, and after that I stopped watching.
Yeah, fourth.
Yeah.
Fourth movie in that set.
Yes.
With James McAvoy and Fassbender.
But isn't it, didn't they do it where some of them are young and some are from the original X-Men guys, some of the young, I mean, maybe that's not this movie, but.
Like I said on Facebook, I wish I had had an advanced degree in quantum mechanics.
Well, Star Trek did that too, didn't they?
The plots of these.
Okay, let me ask you about Star Trek before we move on. Yeah. Star Trek did movies where, like, it's old Spock and new Spock together, right? Mm-hmm. And I think even Kirk shows up, old Kirk, young Kirk.
No, Spock did.
And has there been two different new Kirks? Did two actors, did Chris Pine and Chris Evans
No,
do?
There's only been one Kirk, but they have Star Trek Discovery, the show, where Spock shows up on that as a young guy, and I interviewed the guy.
Oh, so there hasn't been two actors playing Kirk in the new versions?
Just Chris Pine. They have not had Shatner in the movies, but they had Leonard Nimoy.
Interesting.
That's another quagmire.
Well, okay, but tell us...
But the X-Men, it's like... It literally felt like this movie... Apparently, they had to reshoot everything in the end.
Yeah.
Because the original ending looked a lot like Captain Marvel.
I remember you telling me this on the phone, and I go, I can't remember the end of Captain Marvel. Yeah. It came out three months ago.
And in between the time they shot this movie and now, Disney and Fox merged.
Yes.
So I feel like Disney exerted some pressure on them and said, we got to change all this. And they almost should have just canned this thing.
Well.
Because it has so... It's not... horrible. It's just very one tone.
Yeah.
It's very, just very, you know, they're all very sad about being mutants.
Mm.
You know, and it's like...
But what about all these new mutant movies that are spinning off from Deadpool, which...
That's all going to get canned because of the merger. There's one movie left that was... There's one movie they shot with Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones, because this one they put Sophie Turner in there because she was hot from Game of Thrones.
Interesting.
And that's going to probably crash into the waves.
Which X-Men was inspired by Springsteen to lead a better life?
Oh, that was X-Men Days of Future Past.
Days of Future Past was inspired by...
Yeah. That's a joke.
Yeah.
I made a joke. Don't worry. It's fine.
No, they heard greetings from Asbury Park, and they dedicated their lives.
The senior bus just pulled up for Bill. We got to wrap this up.
Bill, how about a nice soup on your way out? We'll get you a nice...
It's meatloaf night, Bill.
Can we stop for tapioca? Can we?
Bill, I got a nice minestrone. It's the recipe that Joel's dad brought over on a donkey from Calabria. He rode over.
At least you got the province right. You at least got the province right, you motherfucker.
Bill. I got a nice cacio e pepe. Right. Hey!
Before we wrap it up, Bill, you brought...
I haven't watched any of this shit.
Show us the photos you brought.
That ship sailed a long
time ago. No, show us the photos. We want to see.
This is going to be something to back up shit I thought we were going to talk about, but then Corey showed up.
Tell us now.
No, we'll save it for another time.
Oh, jeez, now you're in suspense.
No, we'll save it for another time.
Cliffhanger ending.
Bill's got photos of the grassy knoll he won't show us.
Where I appear,
and we can't.
We'll
this is, look, Elvis
you
and,
can, you can
on.
Die between now and
it's
then.
Elvis show us and, it's Elvis and Nixon fucking JFK's corpse. They're fucking the hole in the back of his head. And you won't even show it to us.
He's got a manila envelope with photos and he won't show us.
Let me clasp his shut so you guys.
Oh, he's really not going to show us.
This is what really happened.
Why not show us?
This is what really caused Chernobyl to melt down. But you won't tell us what happened.
It's CIA, man. I'm telling you. CIA.
Did Edward Asner touch you in these photos? What are we talking about here?
Ed Asner came out of a spaceship with Gabe Kaplan.
This is my...
And Gavin McLeod.
I got one photo in here of my head in Soupy Sales pee bucket.
Oh, well, see, now that's what we want.
That's what I want,
the backstage dirt.
Yeah.
Well, Corey, now we know what our MacGuffin is for our comedy documentary.
It's like a Hitchcock movie.
It is really
I know, once like, there's something on that microfilm we got to see, and now he won't tell us.
Who are the 39 steps? Tell us.
You know, I never wanted to see Ed Asner naked, but if he told me he had a big wang, I'd be kind of intrigued. Now I want to know what's in this envelope. This is the big Ed Asner wang in this envelope.
Give me that, you bastard. It's next time.
It's going to be like Chernobyl. We'll open it up. It's pictures of his ex-wife's nude. It's and we're all... Our skin will start to boil.
Oh,
yeah, talk about meltdown. Oh, there we go.
There'll be a radioactive cloud across the... The eastern portion.
Talk about salting the earth.
Talk about burning a hole to China.
No, no one, nothing can grow in that spot anymore.
I don't know. Bill has a manila envelope with photos that he said he was going to be show them on the show.
Oh my God.
Now we don't know what they are. So here we go.
Yeah, no, this was a full couple hours.
Man. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up. Corey, any...
I've had enough. Oh, God.
anything to plug?
Nothing like watching a 45-year-old guy have a heart attack.
That's amazing.
Anything to plug
no, I'm good.
You're good.
What is there to say?
I don't know what to say. But yeah, we'll, what can I tell you? 9:10 a.m. Catch us on there.
Read my review of Dead Don't Die.
Yeah, that's on MetroTimes.com.
On MetroTimes.com.
On Dead Don't Die. You can catch that review. I hope maybe I'll see that.
Godzilla,
I don't know.
Godzilla.
And Mindy Kaling has a movie opening this week, and I'm afraid.
I'll be skipping that.
Well, my girlfriend's going to want to go to that, so I'll probably end up
seeing
that.
That's a science fiction movie in which a woman hosts a late night show.
That might be the guy. I finished Hannah on.
Although,
Amazon
honestly,
Prime.
James Corden, I would have taken Chelsea Handler over David.
Is he
James
in
Corden.
Them? Oh, just
no,
to be the host.
On
of
a late
show.
Night? Yeah, do we need all of them?
All right, let's get out of here. We're going to say goodnight. Bill, thanks as always for coming by.
Yeah, over and out. Glad
we
to
love
be.
Having Bill here. And
because
I'm
close.
What can I tell you? Well, look, you. And come see Bill somewhere.
I'll be
sitting in a lawn
Castle,
chair.
Woodward 13.
Come share your Saturday, HBO Go 8. Password with Bill. Yeah,
if anyone wants to donate their Amazon Prime subscription, Bill will take that.
Email us your passwords.
Yeah, please do.
Has it got Match Game on it?
Yeah, well, you know, Bill,
get that over the air.
We're going to watch the new Pressure Luck. We'll have that review on there with Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, is she doing? They brought back the game.
She's hosting Pressure Luck. Yeah, those are all running again.
Anthony Anderson.
Michael Strahan on Pyramid.
Oh, God.
Michael Strahan hosts Pyramid.
That was a very interesting game of Pyramid.
No, it was things that you keep in your sock drawer. All right. Let's get out of here.
Blank a doodle doo.
Believe me. Roseanne just called. She fired me again. It's unbelievable. Oh, let's get out of here.
You're never going to work with her.
Never. Good night, everybody.
Phyllis Diller just called and fired Bill from a gig he was going to do.
But Joan Rivers is interested, Joan though. She kind of likes your shit.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Joel's going to play a seance for Joan Rivers.
I'm going to play.
Open for her. That's slut Heidi Abramowitz.
I need Abramowitz.